This is Drink Spin Run, the RPG talk show podcast.
Recording. Well,
thank you. Now you don't have Beeble cubes. Damn it.
I got it. That's right.
This is Drink Spin Run. I'm Don Stroud, and with me, as always, is Adam Iskevich.
Yeah, man, this is a day already. This is something. We're Beeble cubes everywhere, man. This is nuts. Howdy, folks. I'm Adam. You know me. I'm here again, and with us tonight is our. I don't want to say special guest. We got to come up with a better term. We've been talking about this. Fantastic guest. It's every time I forget what we call him, and it's always fantastic guest. Our fantastic guest. You have like seven different names that you go by online. Which one should I use?
Yeah, there's the two.
Two or seven. Two. Yeah.
Two is just like seven. It's just take the bottom away. Yeah. Of the two. It's a seven, pretty much.
I've never gone by David, ever.
Well, that's really weird because you show up as David online sometimes. But we have Jared Shaw of Mythord fame here with us tonight. How you doing, Jared?
Hey, pretty good guys.
It's great to have you here, man. We've been trying to get you on the show
thanks
forever.
For having me.
I had to figure out that you don't look at G+ that often and that you spend more time over on Facebook to get a hold of you.
Yeah, it's sad but true.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm probably the same way.
That's just baby stuff for me. I mean, like, literally, my baby goes on Facebook. That's what I do there. anyway, hi, guys. How's it going?
Pretty awesome.
So, here's some stuff. Jared, what are you drinking?
This right here is a little pregame concoction of some kind of cinnamon whiskey, peach, vodka, and Coca-Cola.
It's a necessity drink,
but hey, you can taste both cinnamon and peach distinctly, so.
Yeah, I can see that go. It's like a, what do they call that, like peach cobbler, but with vodka.
Yeah, it is a lot like peach cobbler.
And Coke.
Actually.
I question the Coke, mostly. Like, that was probably where you went wrong, maybe. The Coke.
You think so?
I don't know.
I don't either. I have no idea. That just sounds like a weird mishmash of flavors that I don't understand right now.
But peach cobbler.
I'll just go with peach cobbler. Oh, okay. Is it one of those things you have to drink a whole bunch of them to understand them?
Oh, I hope not. My real drink is a local beer. That was just my sidecar. So,
tell us about it.
It's a Hop Cocoa from Wicked Weed. It's a brewery up in Asheville, North Carolina. We got a buddy that works there, and he gets to take home like overfills and underfills.
So nice.
Yeah.
We usually get a nice case here and there, some really good beer.
There seems to be a lot of good beer going on in North Carolina. Seems to be a lot, a big booming industry there, which is cool.
Yeah, there's 30 in Asheville alone.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's just one little place. It's not even that big of a city.
I know friends of the show, John Repoltz and Jamie Bradish have that cidery, Red Clay Cidery down there in Charlotte. And they bring us stuff up from there. Not necessarily from their place, but from like all crazy places down there pretty, you know, every time they come up to home to Michigan. So that's cool.
Nice.
Don Stroud, what are you drinking?
Yes, I am drinking a rerun from season two. Nosferatu, the Imperial Red Ale from Great Lakes Brewing Company.
I like Great Lakes, man. I won't even hold the fact that they're in Ohio and not Michigan against them, using the Great Lakes name, despite the fact that they're in a state that only touches two instead of five.
Is that a thing?
I thought Michigan only touched 4 of the 5.
You're right. It's 4 of the 5. You're right.
But still, that's 4. Not 2.
I was assuming. I was thinking in my brain that there were more Great Lakes. That was. I know we have like all.
We touched 5 of the 9 Great Lakes.
Honestly, my brain. You want to know what I thought was 5 of the 7. Yeah. Which is funny because my brain also told me that there's only one of them that we don't touch. So apparently 5 is one fewer than 7. And I just started drinking, folks. So it's just that day for
it's
me.
It's gonna be
cheers.
Good night.
Yeah.
So the Imperial Red Ale, it's delicious. Nosferatu. I don't know how far these guys go, but you listeners can probably find it most places. What are you drinking, Adam?
Great question. So I'm drinking something weird. And by weird, I just mean not normal for me. I am drinking a hard cider from... Starcut Ciders. I misread that label entirely. It's from Starcut Ciders? Where the hell are they?
Starcut.
Shit, man. Oh, Elk Rapids. Okay.
Elk Rapids.
Michigan. Elk Rapids, Michigan. It's part of Shorts thing. That's why.
Yeah, that's... Because it's short, Shorts is bottled.
Yeah.
And it's like they kind of, I don't know how they're connected, but they are.
Well, they're bottled by Shorts.
Yeah.
So, it's called Octo Rock. It is a semi-dry, this is a semi-sweet. That's what's wrong with it.
Is it blueberry?
No, thankfully, no. So there were 2 on the shelf from Starcut Ciders, and I grabbed this one because it didn't have berries in it. It's called Octo Rock, and it's got a dude on a turtle. This is not...
A dude on a turtle.
It's got a dude on a turtle. Check it out. Look at the dude on the turtle. See? Huh. But, that's a non-visual... It was a visual cue to the folks listening at home. It's good. It's sweeter than I like. I feel like I'm drinking, like, a soft drink.
Wine cooler.
No, yeah. I don't feel that bad.
Not really?
Yeah, this is too much alcohol in it to be a wine cooler.
Yeah, but all these like fruity ciders that are all the rage, like I just feel like they're wine coolers.
Yeah, I typically feel that way too. So the one that I didn't get was called Immortal Jelly. And I don't know if you guys know anything about Immortal Jellies, but they're a really fucking weird jellyfish thing that is able to restart its own life cycle when threatened. So like... Mm-hmm. If it is threatened, it reduces down to, like, a larval state, or I guess that's not a correct term, but, a pre-jellyfish state, and then lands somewhere, and then grows as a polyp,
like
and eventually
polyp,
up into a... Well, it starts off as something smaller than a polyp.
Right.
And then it grows up into a polyp, and then it grows into a jellyfish again, and then if it gets scared again, it grows back down again. So they're they're immortal. I know about those because of the Octonauts.
That's like a fucking phoenix of the ocean.
Yeah, phoenix of the ocean, indeed. Yeah.
Wow. Jelly phoenix.
So that's our first gameable moment of the show, right there. Jelly phoenix.
Jelly phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Works
I'm
for me.
I'm going to stat that up.
You should do it.
Yeah, we should.
We should put it in the show notes. That's what we should do.
We should just do interactive shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jarrett, you're the witness. This is going to happen. We're going to write it up. If anyone at home has a suggestion for stats for the Jelly Phoenix,
what about the Veeble Cubes?
Ignore them.
What about the what?
Veeble Cubes.
The Veeble Cube. Yeah, that should be one, too.
If anybody knows what a Veeble Cube is, we'd love to hear about it.
Maybe that's what the polyp form is.
Veeble Cube. The pre-polyp form is the Veeble Cube. Got it. Okay. All right, now we're getting a little bit of the ecology of the whatever we're talking about, phoenix jelly.
Man. I'm going to break this up and rein the reins a bit.
Do it. Do the
Jared.
Job.
Jared, what are you spinning? It's weird you only have one guest on.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I feel like I can screw around a little bit more, which is
a
lot.
It's probably bad. Jared, what are you spinning?
Recently, I've been listening to a lot of stuff that I grew up on, like... early teenage years, so I've been revisiting Archers of Loaf.
Oh wow!
And
good stuff,
I revisit them probably every like 4 to 5 years, and I just so good, man, so good, still good. And I actually got to see them a couple years ago, which was crazy because they broke up like late '90s or something.
Yeah, The only thing I might remember about them is, was there a video where there were girls with mustaches painted on?
I don't know.
That's all I remember. I don't
know. It's possible. I mean,
yeah, alright.
I'm going to go watch every Archers of Loaf video. Yeah, but, you know, we ask questions like this in an internet age where we could totally find out like right away, but we're too lazy to do it, so we'll just conjecture.
Yeah, I kind of hate when people start looking stuff up because you can hear it. It's like clack, 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 clack. I'm like, who's typing? I have to edit this out, you know? And I do edit those out.
Yeah, that's good. Just Adam, throw a noise gate on it. It's good.
What are you spinning, Adam?
Okay, so So some of the stuff that I'm going to tell you in the next few episodes that I've been spinning is stuff that I got into in the gap between seasons, right? During the move, and then, like, this is stuff that is in way heavy rotation over here. So you guys, last episode, when you talked about that ridiculous-sounding Canadian city, or maybe it was the one before, it was first episode of the season.
Yes.
You mentioned the jazz festival in Guelph, right? Which totally sounds like a body function. Just going to say that. It reminded me that I've been really into the Mary Halverson Octet lately.
Shut up, dude.
You're down too?
I love Mary. Have you heard the new album?
Have you heard the new album?
No, but
it's
love her.
It's fucking amazing. It is so good. But she's got an octet now because she picked up she's a guitar player, right? She picked up a pedal steel player, who is also a woman. So the two women in the band play guitar, one playing normal electric, the other one playing slide. This album, Away With You, is phenomenal. I do think it's one of those albums that if you're not a magician, if you're not a musician, you probably won't get as much out of it. You probably won't dig it as much as your magician friends. it's just one of those things where, like, musicians, I feel, and this is not shit-talking non-musicians, but it is to say that I think that musicians kind of have a sense for what's going on. So when you've got, you know, eight different parts, like, working together, you know, to form a cohesive whole, you know, you can kind of pick apart, okay, well, the saxophone's doing this, and the trombone's doing this, and the trumpet's doing that, and then the guitar, and the blah, 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 and they're accenting each other. The amazing thing about her band is that they play off each other so well, and it's just like tagging each other in and out, and, you know, and then, like, I'm going to carry this part for so far, then you're going to take over, and I'm going to play a rhythm part after that, and you're carrying the melody, and then the next person comes in, and it's kind of traditional jazz shit, but they're so amazing at it. And, like, they don't follow any traditional jazz, like, conventions. It's really avant-garde and a lot of fun. I really, really, really like her stuff. I got into the new album when it came out, and that has caused me to go back through all of her catalog. And it is so good. So good. Don, you got to check out Away With You, man.
Yeah, I've got some early shit. I just see that she played a show with Trevor Dunn. From Mr. Bungle, right?
Man, that would not surprise me given the quality of the new album.
Nice. Yeah, I'm gonna get on that. I'm actually excited. This is like one of the only things you've ever said that I've been like, oh, Adam has good taste. No, just kidding.
He's full of lies, folks. He's full of lies.
It's true. It's true.
We really do. I mean, even the stuff that, like, you're like, I don't think you're gonna like this, but I'm gonna listen to it.
Right. Yeah.
You should probably listen to it at some point. I'll listen to it. Like, wow, you were actually right. I should have heard that. Like Barn Owl, you totally got me into Barn Owl. And now that's like totally my jam. I've been really enjoying that stuff. Not so much that, you know, lately, because I haven't been playing video games as much. But, yeah. That was really good background brain music. But now Mary Halverson, I can't listen to around my wife because she's not a magician, and she doesn't have the same appreciation for all the weird shit going on that I do. So, how about you, Don? What have you been spinning?
Well, as you know, I did not have any electricity in my house for 5 days, so I was going to say not a lot, but I was really excited to hear about this, this Nurgle project, the, dark folk country or whatever. Me and that man.
Yeah.
Nurgle from Behemoth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Have you checked that out?
Not yet.
No. There are three songs you can hear. Did you just cut your fucking finger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just cut a chunk out of my finger with these fucking pliers that I'm using because I can't find my bottle opener.
Oh, man.
Yep. Oh, my God. Is it going to be behind me? It's behind me. But, motherfucker.
We actually can never just have one guest on anymore.
You can use Adam this. Just... Use the edge of your counter.
Just, yeah. Yeah,
use that. Pass that yeah. thing off.
Yeah. You're right.
Look at your teeth.
Wow. Okay, you guys keep talking. I'm going to go put a Band-Aid on this shit. I'll be right back.
All right. All right, we're just going to jump into Reed then. If that's all right. And I'll start with Jared.
No, wait. You got to talk more about your shit, man. Don't let me derail this.
That's all I have is three songs. It's, you know, okay. You know what?
All right, fine.
Sorry. No, I'll continue. I got a sense of Nick Cave from it, you know? Especially some of those Murder Ballad, or the Murder Ballad album. Are you familiar with any of that, Jared?
No, I'm not.
You should check it out.
Yeah? What's his name?
Yeah. Nick Cave.
Nick Cave.
You know Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. There's one called...
it sounds really familiar.
Murder Ballads. Like... And it's all these songs about killing people or being killed.
I heard something a while back. It was a genre of music in Mexico that was exactly like that, what you just described. Like the,
oh, really?
Yeah, murder ballads and gangster ballads and whatnot. I can't remember what it's called. That's cool, Nick Cave.
Like played with a mariachi band?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah. How'd he cut himself with pliers?
I don't even... Wouldn't like to hazard a guess. So we are going to skip into Reed, because why not?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
What are you reading?
Novel-wise, I'm not reading anything at the moment. I've been reading with the new Myth Horde. We're coming up with a system, so I've been reading up on just tons of different rule books and
tons.
Tons. And yeah, it's really how it's been like the past 2 years. I haven't read much novel wise because I'm just like inundated with all these gaming books all the time. It's hard not to give my attention to those, you know.
Yeah, this makes sense.
I think we all suffer from that curse to one degree or another.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But right now I'm rereading the Open Quest 2 rulebook.
Ah, that's basically Mongoose's RuneQuest 2, right?
Yeah.
Just
well, it's you know,
it's not D101. Rebranded Legend.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a clone. It's just I don't know. It's so good, man.
I don't know that I've read actually like Open Quest itself. I just kind of assumed that it was you know a Rune Quest like Mongoose's Rune Quest 2, a clone of that. So I kind of passed it by. Maybe I need to take a closer look. I've been totally into Rune Quest lately, so you're talking my shit right there.
Yeah, man, D100's like taking over my life. I haven't played a D20 in well over a year now. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah. The whole like RuneQuest game engine is so cool though. Like I mean, Don, you and I were playing Stormbringer for a while. That was a lot of fun. I love the way that system is designed. I really like non-class and level systems, you know?
Yeah.
And
I'm having a hard time going back. Like after you get used to that setup, I mean, that you could just, everybody can do everything. I mean, it's really hard to go back to the restrictions of a class in a specific setting.
Agreed. Class and level has its time and place, and it can be fun, and it's fast, you know?
Yeah.
It is a great, you know, way to, you know, create a game. I mean, Don and I talk about DCC all the time. I mean, if you look over there, you know, like all the way over here, that's pretty much all class and level stuff. So that's all, you know, some version of D&D, but yeah. Behind me is the is the section that's been getting a lot more love lately, which is like, you know, RuneQuest, couple editions of RuneQuest, Cthulhu, Warhammer Fantasy, you know, stuff. Just some of the nice. Some of the more touchy feely games too. You know, Torchbearer, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that stuff's been fun. We're on Reed, right? That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Okay,
Don. Yeah.
What are you reading, buddy?
I just finally finished up my Hestur collection, and I jumped into another one of those Chaosium collections. I'm on Mysteries of the Worm by, I think they're all by Robert Bloch.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that De Vermis Mysteries was his creation, right. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was his creation, but he never used it like that. Only Lovecraft used the Latin trends.
Really?
I didn't know that. Yeah. He always used Mysteries of the Worm.
Robert Bloch was a pretty influential dude in his time, you know?
Didn't he do...
Psycho, he do? Yes. He did Psycho.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever read any Robert Bloch. I was getting confused with Frank Belknap Long.
Yes, I understand that. They're very different guys, and I get it because they're like the non Weird Tales 3. You know, it's the guy who wasn't like Lynn Carter or August Derleth, who is, you know, came right. after those guys, you know. So I'm not a fan of either Lynn Carter or August Derleth, so
I think some Lynn Carter, but yeah, August, like, I just read one of those things he wrote in the Hestur book, and I'm like, he's just jumbling shit together. He's just throwing it in there.
Yeah.
Like, he's a hack.
Well, that having been said, like, part of the greatness of the Cthulhu mythos is that it's all jumbled together. But
kind of, but not in one story like that.
Yeah, I think the problem is, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The whole, like, pantheonization of Cthulhuism is really pain in the ass to me. I just don't like it. I think it starts... And that whole, like, we're fighting against the old ones, that kind of ridiculous mentality leads us down a stupid path that ends up with shit like Delta Green. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I fucking hate Delta Green. I think is the dumbest shit.
Like, August was a Christian, and he was trying to slap some sort of, like, good versus evil thing on the mythos instead of just leaving it as it was.
Goddamn Christians.
Right. So that is what I just started last night. I did do a lot of reading while the power was out by candlelight.
It's like, how did you power your Kindle? I'm kidding. I know.
Kindle.
I know how words work.
I don't
read what
Kindles.
You can write them on.
I'm going to take this opportunity to ask you, Adam, what you are reading.
Okay, so I didn't lose my power, so I did get to keep reading on my iPad. But I still haven't fucking finished that book, you know, The Lies of Locke Lamorat. Like, I'm at 92%. I'm almost done. But it got bad again. It's like, it got great, and I, like, zipped through 20% of the book in, like, a day, and now I'm like, I just gotta end this. I gotta get it over. Like,
I gotta finish it.
I really, and at this point, it's just a matter of pride. Like, I, if I didn't have so much time invested, I'd quit, you know? But I was really disappointed by the, you know, I got excited about it, and now it's all a total letdown. So,
yeah.
The awesome revenge story that I thought was going to happen ended up being a lame revenge story that is now... It's now doing a pantheonization. It's now doing, like, a good guy's aligning against the shit. Like, oh, no, really? I don't... Yeah, no, don't do that. It was bad. So, I can hear everything. Yeah. I turn my headphones down a little. I can hear, like, my hands moving on my pants through my microphone, which is really weird because it's coming through here and, like, it's really creepy. So, I don't know what I'm going to read next, which is good. I'm headed to Gary Con next week. Which will be awesome. Oh, I should have mentioned this during the drink section.
Oh, wow.
Paul Wolf, friend of the show, who's for some reason never been on. We got to get that guy on. I don't know if you guys know Paul. Awesome, awesome guy. A lot of fun. He's kind of like, you know, like some people in different social circles will take on a familial role, you know? Like some people, oh, that's the convention mom, that's your convention dad, that's your convention grandpa. I really wish I could convince Frank Mensur to be my convention grandpa. That'd be awesome. But Paul Wolf is kind of like my convention cool uncle, you know? Like he's not like a lot older than us, but like he's got like kids who are full grown and shit, and he's like, oh, I'm older, blah, blah, blah. But he's still like hanging out with Doug and the rest of us, and you know, it's he's kind of like your convention cool uncle. That's how I think of him. But he's organizing a cultural exchange, during GaryCon, which means you bring beer from where you are and you trade it with people.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So he's bringing Shiner, and I'm like, that never counts as culture, ever. Like, Shiner just doesn't count. Yeah, but so if you go to GaryCon, bring some beers from where you are, find us, and trade, you know? People will have interesting stuff for you to give a shot to. I will probably bring some of this Octorok, because I can't drink it all, I don't think. I was really... The semi-sweet was next to a semi-dry, and I just... thought, oh, well, they just make all semi-dries, and nope.
Oh.
Yeah. Mistake.
You assumed.
I just had a total failure in reading.
Yeah.
So, so that was that. Hey, where are we at? We're at Run. Hey, run, what are we running? Run. Jared, what are you running?
Whoa. I'm running the book I've been reading twice, Open Quest. We're running, well, it's our version of Open Quest 2.
Right.
It's just house ruled out a little bit, and we actually made another version of the rules that you can play a game we call Arena Trent with, named after its creator, Trent, my buddy. but it's funny. Designed to have people come in and they can make just anything they can think of, and we have this really just core small set of rules that can pretty much flesh out anything and any special ability, so that, and it keeps it all balanced, and it's just great to get. I mean, we've had all our ladies playing at the same time, which is unheard of, at least for us, and everybody had a blast, so we're
nice.
Yeah, we've been chipping away at that thing for the past 6 months or so.
Cool.
Yeah. Does that, I'm asking a question here. Does that, so I know you do a lot of your, the one page inserts for Myth Horde.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you use those? Is that like your world, or is it, does it come with its own?
Yeah, actually the campaign we're, playing in started in Crow Gulch, which was one of the Myth Horde exclusives, the full modules, and it started there, and actually the town we're in now is was one of the last one pagers, so I mean they're directly tied to when I make them, when not a different designer makes them, when I make them, though, they're tied to our campaign.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. You know, like, that's, I mean, publishing stuff you use, right, I think is, you created it, you created it to use it, not just to publish it, and I like that,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like pre-playtested, you know?
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
And if you're anything like me, you're really writing it as you're playtesting it.
Same thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Don, what about you? What are you running?
I'm nothing like you, but I'll tell you what I'm running.
You're exactly like me. You're just, you got a better voice, that's all.
I actually did just run a game last night of my DCC campaign.
Uh-huh.
I had three players, and I used to say, I've only got three players. No, I'm not going to do it unless I have four. I'm just like, hey, three is great.
Yeah. Take what you can get, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I take what I can get. Now, two, I probably would just play.
Just like put a frog in the place of the person who's missing.
Yeah.
You don't have any ducks anymore, so you got to use something.
No. No, but so we fucked around for so long, like just drinking and eating and bullshitting. You know, when we don't see each other, we didn't see each other all of February. Mm. And I have to, all right, excuse me. And so finally it was like, all right, you know, they're going someplace. I have this little table I made up to roll for each hex. Each 6 mile hex has a, I based it on Harley Stroh's. Have you seen the hex rolling thing for Purple Planet? Where you roll 3d5, I think it is, and then it's kind of like, it's either this thing, or it's this, or it's this, or it's this.
I haven't gone through it
too much. I'm gonna admit, like, I had Purple Planet this whole time.
Yeah,
I've only skimmed the surface. You know?
I've played in it, but I've never owned it.
Oh yeah,
I played in it, and I own it, but I've only read little bits.
So I was going to say this for our Hex Crawl show, which we're never going to have. But yeah, so I ended up just rolling a couple times on that. They got like 18 miles and they hit this ruins and I plopped some owlbears. I've never used owlbears. And I have all these miniatures of owlbears because
they're cool. Yeah.
Because every time I see one, I buy one. So that took up the rest of the night. It was like a 3-hour session because I had just gotten power back and I had to do a bunch of shit. And I didn't want to fuck around with a bunch of dudes, you know, drinking. But that's what I did.
Fucked around with a bunch of dudes drinking.
Yeah, so basically it was about 20 minutes of actual gameplay in 3.5 hours. You know, rolled a few empty hexes, rolled an encounter, bam, owlbears.
Who were your players that night?
Last night it was James Posnell.
Which would be because the result. I got it. Uh huh. Yeah. I figured it was James.
Yes. And then Mark Donkers.
Hey, Mark.
Previous guest. And then Jonathan Ball, who has been posting a lot in that DCC music group on G+.
Yeah, I don't know if I know him. Yeah. I don't think I've met him.
He was an old coworker who comes from gaming back in the day.
Mm. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
Adam. Gaming. Yes.
RuneQuest. It's awesome. I'm doing some weird shit with it, and people who've been watching our stream might notice that, like, in the last episode, I did some really weird stuff with, like, action economy and, like, doing more narrative-based, you know, contests. So, like, I don't like when you're just rolling dice to give you a yes or no answer. I can give you a yes or no answer, right? I want the dice roll to actually be meaningful. So, RuneQuest 6 uses, like, a degree of success system. And this is one of the things I'm super glad. I don't know if I could run this outside of Roll20, because it would be, like, really chart-heavy without Roll20. But based on your score in a skill, your die roll might be a different grade of success. And the way you're supposed to do that is the GM's supposed to say, oh, well, you need a hard success to do this, or you need a very easy success to do that. Mm. I'm not that guy, so I don't do it like that. Instead, I'm like, okay, let's roll dice and let's see what, you know, what would have been a success. Oh, well, you got a very easy success, you know, so that you would only have succeeded under easy circumstances. These aren't those, and here's why, you know. Here's why it's more complex, you know, than it being easy. You know, and so I'm using a little bit more degree of success kind of stuff, which is cool. I'm also using a lot of the lessons I learned running Torchbearer for a few months on, you know, how to really take a failure and turn it into an opportunity for everybody, you know, whether that's, you know, me as the GM to fuck up their shit, or the players to have something cool to react to. It's been fun, and I'm repurposing some of the rules of RuneQuest 6 to do stuff that they weren't designed to do, which has worked exceptionally well. Now, for example, like Jared, I don't know if OpenQuest is like this, but in RuneQuest 6, you have like a number of action points every round, and it tells you, you know, how much shit you can do. Is that consistent?
Well, not entirely. It is in our iteration of it. I mean, we use action points, but I think classically OpenQuest 2, as written, is just you get your movement, you get an action, and you get a reaction. Period.
Ah, very third edition D&D-ish. Got it.
Yeah.
I like the action point thing because, you know, you're in complete control of what those things do, you know? And I can trick you into spending your action points on defense. Because I'm a sneaky bastard. But what I did was I had people, like, figure out their action point pool, and we did a non-combat thing, and they got to spend their action points to make stuff happen. You know, if they wanted to roll dice, or if they wanted to augment someone else's dice roll, they wanted to help somebody, they had to tell me what skill they were using and spend an action point to do it. And it went down really cool. So it was basically they're trying to they're trying to find some bears and, you know, set traps for them, because that's the kind of quest that they're on, is, hey, hunt some bears for the tribe. All right, cool. So before it ended up being like round-by-round combat, basically I gave them a montage segment, you know, where they got to tell me what they were doing, how they were doing this shit, and it was really cool the way it played out, because you give them a discrete amount of actions that they can take and, you know, leave it up to them. By the time they run out, stuff happens, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We just made everything a little quicker by going, like, 4 second rounds and 2 AP, period. Like, do what you will, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, you know, when we were doing Stormbringer, like, combat would last for, like, 3 hours. Because it was, like, everyone had a parry, and then no one was doing any damage.
Yeah.
Like, we would just be like, oh, man. So I think you actually brought in the action point system to Stormbringer, and it helped a little bit. It was still pretty long, combat, though.
They had so many fucking player characters. That was part of it.
Yeah, that's true.
And nobody had skill points in doing things.
How many people did you have?
It was like 8.
Wow. Yeah, it was a lot of people.
Cool.
Yeah, and there were some clowns in there.
I'm going to jump the whole way.
I'm going to jump just so I can gain skills in jumping. So he was just jumping over people.
Can I roll my jump skill?
Sean was too. He didn't crack the. I was going to say hammer.
No, Sean was good. I actually really like Sean as a GM. I think he's a cool guy to I would gladly play in a game that he was running again. I just wish that he had more like, hey, this shit's badass. Let's be badass. You know, he was more like, "Yeah, whatever you guys want to do. You want to keep playing this? You want to switch to 5th edition? That's cool." Like, I get it. You're, you know, a feel-good hippie dude.
Right.
But, you know, like, get excited about the shit you're running. You're running an awesome game. Let's have fun with it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he actually went on to run, like, 3 different 5e games at once after that.
Huh.
Yeah, he really loves it.
So the rest of what I'm working on is prepping for prepping for GaryCon next week, as I keep talking about it. This is like the pre-GaryCon hype show, right? I'm probably going to work with Doug on the Wednesday night game thing, because he told me I'm going to today. And I don't really know anything about it, but it's kind of a preview of what they'll be doing at Gen Con, which is cool, because Gary Con's going to be a little bit of a playtest for the Gen Con stuff. I do want to run Pierce Shea's awesome monster parts, but we spent, like, all of last episode talking about monster parts, so I won't belabor them points. And I'm working on something for that that kind of, like, ties into my own childhood. Because, like, the one adventure that he came out with for that, I don't know if you've read it, but In the Woods... is amazing. It is so good. It's like it, and I had to be careful not to gush about it too much when he was on the show, because I've done that to him accidentally before, and he was like, "I'm not a genius. Back off." And I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable. So I was like, "Okay, on the show, I will treat you like you're a mortal, you know, like immortal, the rest of us." But like, he just got so intensely personal with a lot of the design. I think it's fantastic, you know? When I can come away from a game that you designed knowing more about you as a designer than I did walking into it, like, that's amazing. That's so cool, you know? So I've been working on a thing that does that for, you know, my childhood, like, weirdnesses, you know? Like, the shit that really got under my skin, in one case, literally, when I was a child, you know? You know, so that's what I'm playing with. I had a really weird, and it still happens to me, but I remember architecture from my dreams. You know, not so much things that happened, but like places that things happened in, and there will be like consistent places, like set pieces where things keep happening in. And so that plays pretty big into this thing in my brain. So doing that, and I'm also I just realized today that there is absolutely nothing stopping me from doing a playtest of the In the Shadow of the Black Giant stuff that I'm working on for Lamentations there. So I think that that would require like an afternoon, you know, if I could get some folks, or an evening, you know, if I could get some folks who are interested in that, you know, around a table, that would be cool. Yeah. Because I really want to see how some stuff works, because I think it works. I think. And I just never really put it to the test, so... Want to give it a shot.
Sweet.
Yeah. But that's it. That's what I'm running and prepping to run. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, your run is I'm going to do this. But you know, it's fine. Whatever.
Well, the other thing was I'm running, you know. This is like I'm running next week. So.
Next week.
We chilled out. What's going on? Let's get our energy back. Come on, Don. Wake up.
Well, it's the end of the show, so why don't we close it up, and then we'll be reborn as a jelly phoenix.
Yeah,
phoenix fish.
I don't even remember what those cubes are. What are they?
They're like the pre-polyps.
Veeble cubes? Is that what they're called? Veeble
jelly
cubes?
Phoenix. Were you here for the first part of the show?
Veeble I don't cubes. Know if I was. I'm confused. Like, I thought I knew what was happening, and I think I'm wrong. I gotta switch drinks. My mouth is too sweet now.
Yeah, it is. Sweet mouth.
Sweet mouth.
Sweet mouth Miscavige.
Sweet mouth Scavage.
Yeah, so please join us next week, listeners, as we talk more with Jared about Myth Horde and other stuff.
Yeah, there'll be other stuff too. Yeah. It won't just be Myth Horde, but this is it's gonna be the longest Myth Horde commercial the only Myth Horde commercial that's ever existed. Will be our episode next
there
week.
There was that one.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the second Mirthord commercial that will ever exist. Don, my lovely co-host, thank you so much for being here.
I'm always here.
You are. In fact, here every time. Oh, that's not true. There was once you weren't here, and I borrowed Tim Callahan.
That was a really horrible episode. Let's look at Metamorphosis Elbow together.
It was awesome. What are you talking about? You don't have it. That's why. You're just jealous. You don't have Metamorphosis Elbow.
I don't have it.
See?
Thanks for joining us, Jared.
Jared, thanks for joining us while we mock each other and
appreciate it.
Cut ourselves with tools. we'll be back with Jared next week. Gorgeous listeners, have a wonderful evening. Jared, thank you so much for being here. Don, that's my kiss blown to you over the ether waves.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Drink Spin Run. If you like what you've heard, share us with your friends, leave us an iTunes review, or email us at dsr@kickassistan.net. You can also support us at patreon.com/dsrcast. Our theme music was generously provided by the band Blue Snaggletooth, who you can find at bluesnaggletooth.bandcamp.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope you join us next time, you gorgeous listeners.
I think Jared unplugged his stuff.
Yeah.